All right. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a joy to be here, man of God, and thank you so much for allowing me to come and be part of what God's doing up here in Rhonda. It's an honor and a joy to be here tonight, and I'm excited about being here with you, and oftentimes, I'll tell you what, it don't take much to get me cranked up, you know, really, and... Well, how many glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. Oftentimes I'm preaching different places, and my wife will call me, and I'm in another state, different places, and she always want to know. She'll ask me tonight, and honey, how'd everything go? That's what I always ask me. And sometimes I have to tell her I had to go by Lowe's and get some fire logs and get some kerosene and start a fire and then fan the flame. But I'm going to tell her when I walk up out of here, the fire was already burning. Yeah. Some of us on Brother Roloff about going years ago over to Israel. And I've never been. Preacher's been trying to get me to go for years. Brother Raph, different ones. And maybe someday I'll go. But they talked about, told Brother Roloff, you need to go where the Sea of Galilee and the tomb and all this. And he said, fellas, I ain't against going to Israel. He said, but right now, I'm not concerned about where you've been. I want to be where he is. I'm glad he's here tonight. Glory to God. Well, I tell you what, we're going to get in the Word of God in just a moment. I did bring some of my books. This is the first one that just came out last year. And I've been at New Life going on my 34th year next month. And this little book is 100 pages. It says, and the title of it is, You See the Glory, Let Me Tell You the Story. This ministry, New Life, we started out, preacher, about like you, we started out 33 years ago with 15 children and 5 ladies. And that ministry has grown to 6,000 members, and I give God the glory. Now, I didn't say that to brag on me. I said that to brag on God. But this is a little trail that tells you. You'll see in there the preacher still used to have somebody call it an afro, when you got a whole big old thing of hair, and we call it a bush, praise God. I had a bush, but I don't have that no more. And somebody said, well, I look at your picture in here and see all that hair you had. So what happened to your hair? I said, you passed the Baptist church for 34 years, and see how much, hey, you better, yeah. But, I don't tell the church, but I let the church, they all bought this for $20. But what I'll do, I'm not trying to make nothing. I'm just going to be able to go back and get some more. But they're $10 if you like to have one. And you'll just see, man, I'm telling you some exciting stuff. A walk of faith, the miracles God done. And you'll see, we'll read about the snake in the church and all that. And what all went down with that. Well, and we got a few CDs. Well, I didn't come for that. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go with me to Acts 16. And while you're turning, you heard about this lady that was on her way to work, and they had a parrot. A man owned a business had a parrot on the sidewalk. Well, a lady come walking past the parrot and said, "Hey, lady." She stopped and looked at it, and he said, "You ugly." And she kept right on walking. Well, she come back by the next day, parrot's on the sidewalk, and he said, "Hey, lady." She looked at him and he said, "You ugly." Well, Bob, she done had enough of this. She went in the store and said, "Look, who bird this out here? I'm sick of him calling me ugly. Who bird is that?" And the man said, "Hold it, ma'am. Hold it. I'll talk to him. Get him straightened out. I'll get him right. He'll never do it again." Sure enough, that next day, she come walking by. That bird said, "Hey, lady." Boy, she put her hands on the hip. She was ready. She's waiting for him to say it. And that parrot said, "You know the rest." Oh, boy. Can I tell you one more, then I preach? You heard about this officer, brother. The police officer pulled up, saw this car upside down, antifreeze everywhere, all the place, and he looked under the car, it's upside down. Husband was knocked out, wife knocked out, 2 kids in the back, and it was a monkey sitting on top. And he said, "I don't see no other car. Wonder what happened up in here." And And so he looked at the monkey and said, do you know? He said, huh. He said, yeah, right. He said, well, what was the man doing then? Monkey said, huh. Oh, he was drinking. Well, what was the lady doing? He said, She was fussing. So what were two kids in the back doing? He said, They was fighting. He said, what in the world was you doing? He said, You didn't call me tell jokes. You called me preach. Take your Bibles tonight, Acts 16, and let's look at verse number 25. This is familiar scripture tonight, but I believe this is what God has for us on this assignment tonight. Let's stand together out of respect of the Word of God. The Bible said in Acts 16 and verse number 25. The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prison doors had been fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out, saying, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they sprang unto him of the word of the Lord, and to all that was in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them unto his house, he set meat before them, and they rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Go back to verse number 25. The Bible said, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Church tonight, I want to talk to you on this subject tonight. It's midnight. What you gonna do about it? It's midnight. What are you gonna do about it? Father, I want to thank you, praise you, and give you glory. I thank you for the man of God of this house, and I thank you for First Lady and this wonderful church that you raise up this side of heaven. But I pray, Spirit of God, you make us aware tonight that we're living in the midnight hour. And Father, there's some things that we need to do. I ask you to walk over this place and throw your weight around. Bind every demon, bind every devil in hell. And God, in case somebody slipped in here that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray they sit right down in the lap of the Holy Ghost and get saved by the grace of God. Lord, I realize every day I live that you don't have to have me, but I sure gonna have you. I thank you and praise you and give you glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Lord, have mercy. I feel a breath from another world. really, somebody asked me, said, preacher, I still seem like you always, I'm always on top and always shouting and rejoicing and praising God. They said, don't you feel bad sometimes? I said, listen, I'm just as human as you are. I feel bad sometimes myself. But I don't come down to the house of God and praise God because I feel good. I come down to the house of God and praise him because God's always good. I said, I don't come down here and praise God because I feel good. I come down here and praise God because God's always good. Anybody know God's good? Say amen right there. I got one of our men, Brother Slim Bryce, brother. He's a beanpole straight up, 6'7", and nothing but a beanpole. And he's one of these men that are drop at the shout, at the drop of a hat. You can take your hat and throw it down, he'll shout. That's the kind of man he is. But Brother Slim, I said, would you go with me out to Sam? He said, preacher, I can't go. I said, why? He said, because my wife and my daughter-in-law told me I got to have one of those cards. Oh, I can't get in. I said, well, Brother Slim, come on. I didn't tell him no different. Come ride with me. He rode with me. And he said, I'll sit in the van. I'm not going to go in. They won't let me in. I said, come on, Brother Slim. Brother Slim is pretty, what, about 78, 79 years old. I said, come on, walk with me. And we got to walking up there. And he said, they ain't going to let me in, preacher. I showed the lady my card, and I kept walking, preacher, and I didn't see no Brother Slim. I turned around, face all torn up, tears running out. I said, what in the world wrong with you? He said, preacher, my wife and my daughter-in-law told me I'd never get in Sam's unless I got one of those cards. But here I sat, right standing in the middle of Sam's, and I still don't have a card. I just hooked up with somebody that had a card. That's how I got in. And some golden daybreak, I'll stand on heaven's sweet shore. Not because I got a card, but I hooked up with somebody that's got a card. His name is Jesus. Am I right about it? Now watch this tonight. As I travel this nation, brother, I sit and talk with preachers. And I'm not against what God used to do in the past. But everybody's conversation is always about what God used to do in the past. And I'm not against that. I hear it all the time. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I come to tell you, I do not serve a God of the past. I serve a God of right now. I serve a God that still can, that still is. And hey, I don't know about what kind of God you got, but the same thing that God done in the past, he can still do it right now. I say, whatever God done in the past, he can do it right now. That's Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and the day and forever. He ain't gonna change. Am I right about it, church? Let me show you what the problem is, bro. Here's our problem. You see, have you ever went out and turned your spigot, had it wide open out there at the house? You're going to water your lawn, I wash your car. And when you begin to hit your nozzle, don't anything come out. And listen, and you say, now I got it wide open. Why come nothing's coming out? I'll tell you why. There's so many kinks in the holes. And if you notice something, the power is wide open. But every time you get a kink out the holes, that water say, shh. And you get another kink out, that water say, shh. Get another kink out, that water say, shoo, until you got a full nozzle. And what's wrong with the church of the living God? Jesus, when in Matthew 28, verse 18, said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, God turned the power wide open. Why the church not getting the power? Too many kinks in the holes. The more kinks we get out, the more power we'll see. And somebody up in here tonight ought to make up in your mind, I'm not standing in the way of anything God wants, because I'm sick and tired. I've been 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 sick and tired. I'm ready to see God do something. You with me? Say amen. Now watch this. In our text, let me get this to you. In our text, Paul and Silas on their missionary journey. These men were on their way, being obedient to the Spirit of God. And they heard, according to verse number 9 of Acts 16, they heard a man from Macedonia, the Bible said, a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, the Spirit of God, verse 10, after we've seen the vision, I mean, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely, gathered to the Lord, had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So they're on their journey out to Macedonia. They've seen the cry of the man in a vision. And there's a cry. Listen to me. And so they take off, and they're heading toward Macedonia. Now they've come to Philippi, and one of the cities there in Macedonia. And they go down by the riverbank to have prayer. And a lady by the name of Lydia, I heard Paul them preach the word of God. And she turned her heart to the Lord and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Well, then they went a little bit further. There was a lady and verse number 16. Look at it, class. Watch this now. We're going somewhere tonight. Stay with me. And the Bible said, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Now, it met us. Divination, that's a spirit of Satan, what she had, which bought her master much gain by soothsaying. Soothsaying is palm reading. Here, this lady had a spirit of Satan and had people lined up reading their palms, telling them about the supposed to be future. Well, here come Paul and Silas walking along, and she started to fall in them and said, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they come to show us the way of salvation. Now, she had the words on the outside, but wasn't nothing on the inside. There's a whole lot of people that can talk about it on the outside, ain't got nothing on the inside. There's a whole lot of people that talk about Jesus on the outside, but ain't got nothing on the inside. Am I right about it? Listen, I know what I'm talking about, because 37 years ago, October 9, 1978, that's the way I was. I had a talk on the outside, but I didn't have nothing on the inside. But you know what happened? A white gentleman by the name of Danny Willis walked up to me. Though he was white, if you could really see him, this is how he walked up. If you could see him, he walked up to me like this. Yeah, covered with the blood. And Danny said, "Still, are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am. I joined the church. I'm a scoutmaster. I got the Hershey board. I'm doing the best I can." He said, "If you died right now, are you 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven?" I said, "Danny, I can't say that, but I sure don't want to go to hell." He said, "Still, if I could take that book and show you how you can miss the fires of hell and walk on streets of gold, would you believe God?" I said, "Danny, I believe anything that God got to say." Listen, my brother, you know how I found this church? I put it in my GPS. And this is God's global positional system, His Word of God. Anywhere you want to go, you just plug it in. It'll take you there. Whoa! Hey! And Danny, I said, "I want to go to heaven." Well, he said, "Well, won't you come forward on Romans 3:10 and 3:23, and where there's none righteous, no, not one." And he said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He said, "Come on forward to Romans 5:12. Let me show you where sin came from. Wherefore, as by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." He said, "Back up now. Let me show you the price on sin. For the wage of sin, Romans 6:23, is death." He said, "Now come forward. You don't have to go to hell. That's Romans 5:8 said, but God commanded his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Then he backed me up to Romans 6:23 again. Said, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He said, "Now come on now. Down in Romans 10:9-13. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And boy, when he's done preaching, I fell on my feet, on my knees before the foot of the cross. I saw Jesus by faith. I saw my baptism go out the window. I saw my good deeds go out the window. I saw my church members when the smoke cleared. All I could see was Jesus hanging on the cross, shedding his blood, dying for somebody like me. I pray, "Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin and come in my heart and be my Savior?" I tell you right now, I know, no, you ain't got to tell me, baby. The same man that got down ain't the same man that got up. I got down lost. I got up saved. I got down a child of the devil, but I got up a child of God. Got down going to hell. I got up going to glory. You say, "Brother Steele, you must thank your hot stuff." Oh no, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. Am I right about it? My brother, you see, God thought it. Holy Ghost wrought it. Jesus bought it. I caught it. Hey, brother, if a tractor trailer truck ever hit a Volkswagen head on, that Volkswagen will be changed forever. Well, Jesus is that tractor trailer truck. And I was that Volkswagen. And 37 years ago, I hit Jesus head on. You know what happened? But if you hit Jesus head on, he'll knock the devil out of you. Somebody help me up in here. Hey, you know what I like about him? What I like about him, preacher? I'm glad he didn't die for somebody. He died for everybody. Hey, come here for a minute, bro. Watch this now. I'm going to show you something. You probably seen this, but for some of you that ain't, watch this now. Take this and put it over your head. Hold on where people can't see your face. Just put it over you like that. Yeah, like that. Now, here he is, a white man. Here I am. I'm a black man. We get up under his blood together, and you can't tell what color. Somebody help me up in here. Thank God. I'll tell you what, it's good to know that Jesus didn't die for somebody, but Jesus, he died for everybody. I said Jesus didn't die for somebody. He died for everybody. Am I right about it? Watch this. Whew. Hey, preacher, they come back. The lady didn't show up for work because Paul said, in the name of Jesus, he told that spirit, come out of her. And it came out the same hour. And so I can see all these people lined up for her to read their poem. And they go back, and the boss man is pacing the floor. He said, man, I'm losing money by the second. Where's she at? And then somebody said, go get her. So he went down there. I can see her now come to the door, a big old tear running down her face. He said, look, you sick? We got people lined up. They waiting on you. She said, go tell them. I ain't coming back. You ain't coming back. What's wrong with you? I quit. She said, I've been trying to tell everybody about their future. I met a man called Jesus that told me all about mine. Tell him about, whoa. You know, there's some people we used to hang out at, bro. They've been waiting for you to come back in the same old. No! What a difference when Jesus passed by! Am I right about it? Well, they said, who done it? They said, that Paul and that silence. So who are they? Them two preachers. I said, probably go over there. So over there with that preacher. Joshua, they told that woman something about this Jesus. They got Paul and Silas, put them in jail. Right, and fast their feet in the stock, put them in shackles, and beat them, throw them in jail. While Paul and them was in jail, listen, they were there in the midnight hour. You say, Preacher Steele, you said it's midnight? It's midnight when 64% of our marriages are ending in divorce. It's midnight when 75% of all of the black children alone I live in single parent homes. It's midnight when the Bible and prayer is kicked out of school, kicked out of our government. It's midnight, listen to me, when churches, listen, it's midnight, brother, when blacks and whites can play football, basketball, fish, hunt, go to lunch together, and play all kind of sports together, but can't do God together. It's midnight when we can't come down to the house of God and worship together. Oh, let me tell you, the devil is alive, because I'm going to tell you something. Hey, you better hear me, bro. We might have came over here on different ships, but when we're leaving out, we're going to leave out on the same ship. Hey, it's midnight. Hey, I'll tell you something. Whenever we leave, when me and Matt leave here a little bit, most time we'll stop and get us a now, well, y'all from the country like I am. I see city folks say fish sandwich. Our country folks, we're going to get us a sandwich. Well, so we leave, we're going to get us a fish sandwich. Stop by McDonald's. But I promise you this, brother, when I get to that window and drive around, I ain't going to look up under the window and try to see what color my hands is that's fixing my sandwich. I don't care nothing about what color your hands is. Just give me my sandwich, baby. When I come down to the house of God, I don't care what color the man of God's hands is that feed me the word of God. Just tell me about what God said. Just tell me what Jesus said. Somebody help me up in here. When I go soul winning, we out soul winning every Saturday. I'm knocking on doors. We was out every week. When I knock on the door, I don't knock on the door and say, hey, I'm Pastor Steele from New Life Baptist Church. Just out in the neighborhood letting people know somebody love them, care something about them. And then I, if it's a white family, I don't say, is any black people living here? I ain't looking for no black people. I'm looking for you, baby. Am I right about it? Good God Almighty. I tell you, hey, I ain't looking for no blacks. I'm going to take the word of God. I don't care who comes to the door, red, yellow, black, or white. I'm going to hit them with the gospel of God. I'll thank God. I'm glad Jesus didn't die for somebody. I'm glad Jesus, he died for everybody. Am I right about it? It's midnight. I know. I know y'all, a lot of us are worried to death. Who gonna get in the president's office? I mean, Fox News and CNN and MS, whatever it is. Everybody is worried to death. I'm gonna tell you something, bro. I ain't worried one bit. I ain't staying. What I'm gonna do when it's time to vote, I'm gonna take my little vote and hit it. And you know what I'm gonna do? I ain't even taking no baby aspirin. I'm just going to bed. Cause I'm gonna tell you something. I ain't never depended on Washington to take care of me no way. I've always lifted my eyes to the hills. That's coming my help. My help come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I ain't about to start now. Listen. Let me tell you something right here. And I'm gonna give you three little things, and I'll quit in a minute. But let me tell you something. Brother, I'm usually like I am right now, pretty wired up. But this one time, I was in a little storefront building, preaching where we started. I'm telling you right now, I was low. I was really low. And I came in at a camp meeting down in Richfield. I sat at the back there. And the preacher got up from Alabama. And it seemed like every time, you know, you ever see one of them when every time he do his finger like that, and you sitting at the back, that thing come right back to you. And that's the way it was. And he said, look, you preachers, look up here, man. I looked up at him like he said. He said, some of you, this is all you do right here. He said, you up half the night, you walking that floor. You ain't had to rest a long time. You just back and forth, all you do. He said, I know you did it because I did it too. He said, until I read some. I like what he said. He said, some of you preachers say you're so low. He said, you can walk up under that carpet and not put a knot in it. That's low if you can walk in that carpet and not even put a knot in it. But he said, I did the same thing until I read Psalm 121. It said, God don't sleep and God don't slumber. He said, I said, ain't no sense in everybody stand up. I'm going to bed, get me some rest. Somebody help me in here. But it's midnight. My friend, what are we going to do? Number one, I'll give you three things that Paul and Silas did in the midnight hour. Number one, God still answers prayer. God still answers prayer. Look at Acts 16, verse number 25. The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. For the sake of time, let me tell you what to write. If you know this, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, seeing then, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God still answers prayer. Preacher, I'm telling you, God still answers prayer. I'm telling you, listen, already this year, to God be the glory, we've seen over 600 people already saved by the grace of God. I watched people this morning. I watched people walk down those aisles this morning with tears down their faces. Why? Because I just believe that the same God that was back there, that the same God that's right now, and I serve a God that still answers prayer. You got to understand that in midnight hour, locked up in shackles and chains, that could have been saying, God, why is this me? This ain't fair. We're trying to serve you. Why am I going through this? This ain't right. God, you ought to do. Hey, the Paul, them got on their knees. And he did write Romans. And I can see it now. As he said, Lord, I don't know what's all taking place now. But I know Romans 8:28 said, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love you, and they that are called according to your purpose. I know Romans 8:31 said, as long as you for us, can't nobody be against us. I know verse 32 said, he that spared not your own son, but delivered us from all, how shall he freely also give us all things? I know you said we're more than a conqueror to you that loved us, and you said, as long as you for us, can't nobody be against us. I know Ephesians 3:20 said, you're able to do exceeding abundant all we can even ask to think. We don't know how this whole thing gonna turn out, but we're going to trust you. It's already turned out all right. Us, God, we're doing what you told us to do, and you always end on a good note. We know weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And I'll be the God up. And then, listen, and then the next thing that they did, number two, the Bible said they sang a praise. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Praise him anyway. So Paul and Silas, they prayed, and then they sang a praise. Watch this now. Write this down. In Judges chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the children of Israel was going to fight against the Canaanites. And they went to God and said, what tribe should go first? He said, send Judah, because Judah means praise. If you want to confuse the enemy, he's hit you from every angle. And boy, you're going through this and going through that, and he's hit you. And boy, listen, and you come through those doors, and you come up here, and boy, you're lifting your hands, and you're praising God anyway. That devil look at you and say, wait a minute. I thought I about knocked them out. They still got that Bible in their lap. They still got praise on their lips. They still giving God glory. They still saying, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Ain't nobody like you. Boy, you want to confuse the devil. Praise him anyway. Stuff might be going wrong in your job, but praise him anyway. Stuff might be going wrong at the house, but praise him anyway. Your children may be breaking your heart, but praise him anyway. Your money might be changed, might be money, might be funny, and your change might be strange, but praise him anyway. Somebody in the house ought to praise him anyway. I'm going to tell you why. Because in Psalms 22:3, the Bible said God inherits the praises of his people. That word inhabit means to come and sit down. Now, my son was a police officer and Concord. And Mike, anytime he pulled somebody over that broke the law, he unhook his weapon and he would say, all right, get your hands up. Getting your hands up was a sign of surrender. And so when you see us come in the house of God and we raise our hand, we're not calling for time out or nothing. We're just saying, God, I can't, but I know you can. God, I can't send revival, but I know you can. God, I can't get my son out of the mess he's in, but I know you can. God, I can't let this see this church go forward, but I know you can. God, I can't do nothing with my wife or with my husband or with my finances, but I know you can. So when you come to the house of God, praise him anyway. Give God glory anyway, because God's still good anyway. Am I right about it? Watch this, Paul. The Bible said they sung a praise. I don't know what they sung down there in jail. They could have sung, well, I'm on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. They could have sung that. They could have sung. Silas might have said, once my soul was astray from the heavenly way. I was wicked and vile as can be. Then my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached down his hand for. I don't know what they sung. They could have sung, amazing grace, how sweet. I don't know. Or they could have said, for a long time I traveled down the long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sank low. Oh, and then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. Let me sing it now. Thank God I am free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out, show me the. I don't know, but I know this, brother. they had prayed, they had got, and they believed God still answered prayer. And then they sung a praise. And number three, when you prayed and you sang a praise, expect God to show up. Expect God to show up. Look at verse 26. The Bible said, in Acts 16, 26, the Bible said, and suddenly, that's right away, there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prison were open, shaking. And immediately all the doors are open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing the prison doors were fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, say, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Hey, when Paul and Silas prayed, and then they sang a praise, all of a sudden they heard something hit that jail. Pow! And that jail shook from side to side. They had a jailhouse rock, and it wasn't even Elvis Presley. Somebody help me. Hey, God shook that jail. And the shackles fell off their hands, and shackles fell off their feet. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever God shows up, God always show out. I said, when God shows up, he'll always show out. I said, when God shows up, he always show out. And listen, and during that time, you know it, preacher, that if you let a prisoner go, you had to give your life for that prisoner. And so the jailer got his knife, going to kill himself. And Paul said, hey, with a loud voice. Now, my daughter-in-law is a principal in a school. We got a lot of educators in our church, teachers and stuff. And he didn't want me to be, literacy correct, however you want to say it. I just believe that Paul, I told my daughter-in-law, I said, I don't care what you say. I said, because when I read that, I can see Paul saying, not we're all here. I hear him say, we still here. I promise you, Paul was a country boy. She said, why? How you know? I said, Romans 8, 18 said, I reckon. I said, that ain't no city word. It's a country word. Hey. But Paul, he prayed for a loud voice and came in. And the prisoner fell down his feet. And he said, sirs, I've been here with y'all all this time. And he said, I had y'all locked up. And the whole time, I've been the one that was locked up. He said, y'all heard y'all talking to a God that I couldn't see. And singing about a God that I couldn't see. And now he done come to see about y'all. And said, y'all got a God like that that'll make you shout and rejoice and praise him anyway. Sirs, how can I get this God that y'all got? And they said, you, whoa, glory. I never forget. I'm done. I ain't through, but I'm going to quit. But I had one of my men that run our PA. He said, preacher, my brother's dying of cancer in the hospital. Would you go see him? I said, I'll be glad to. I walked in his room. I said, Mr. Irvin, I said, you don't know who I am. He said, oh, yeah, you're my brother's preacher. You're preacher still. I said, Mr. Irvin, I said, the doctor don't have the last say so. I said, God does. I said, but just in case God chose to take you home, are you ready to go? He said, preacher, he said, would you look in that little cabinet over there where you know you keep the Gideon Bible? He said, get that green Bible out there. He said, I've been reading that Bible all day trying to figure out how to get to heaven. I said, Lord, have mercy. You talking about a deer in a headlight. Whoa! I said, you ain't got to look no further. I had my New Testament in my pocket, and he hit the side of that bed and stopped right in front of that King James Bible, and I took him down that what we call the Romans Road, and boy, and he got born again. And 3 days later, he checked out, went into heaven. They said, you led him to Jesus. He said, why don't you preach his eulogy? I went and preached in the funeral home, had 17 of his family members get saved at the funeral home, and then one of them, Kurt Irvin, his brother, every time you see Kurt, that's where he was in Kannapolis. If he ain't there, he's over at the crack house with a pipe, getting high on crack. Well, old Kurt showed up at the church that next Sunday morning. I said, man, it's good to see you. Sit down any way you want to. And he found a seat. You know what he done, brother? He come over and just sat right down in the lap of the Holy Ghost. Sit down in the Holy Ghost lap. And boy, I'm preaching. The God squares him. And boy, invitation, here he comes. And old Kirk got saved by the grace of God. But watch this. I baptized him right after he got born again. His tears running down his face. And on Monday, he had a knock at his door. And some guys came. A guy just got out of, hey, Kirk, just got out of prison, man. I got some money. We're going to get a rock for old. Come straight to his house. Guy just got out of prison and come straight to his house. You know that was Satan. And Kirk said, what you say? He said, man, come on. We're going to hit a rock for old times. And Kirk said, look, man, said, you're too late. He said, put your shoes on. He didn't hear him. He said, you hear me? He said, what you say? He said, I told you, you're too late. He said, what's this too late stuff? He said, man, I ain't got to go hit no rock. He said, a rock can't hit me. You ain't got to hit a rock. When a rock hits you, rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide my soul in thee. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Thank God, you ain't got to hit a rock. When a rock hits you, am I right about it? But this man, he gave his life to Christ. His wife got saved. Children got saved. His family got born again. All why? Because when it was midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they praised God anyway. And God showed up. And God showed out. I'm telling you tonight, God sent me to tell you, he is ready to show up and show out in this place. He just needs somebody that'll pray and praise him and expect God to show up. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you and praise your holy name tonight. You're such a wonderful God and a great Savior. And you're absolutely amazing. And tonight, Spirit of God, I tried to be obedient to do what you told me to do. I asked you what you want. And you brought this message to my heart and said, go tell my people. Yes, it's midnight. And yes, I know you're worried. I know you're concerned. But I don't want you to worry. I want you to lift your eyes to the hills, which come of your help. Your help come from the Lord. The same God has brought you this far is the same God who will take you the rest of the way. Now, Father, tonight, I prayed it up in this house that God, you'll send a revival to this church. A revival that'll start a fire up in this place, that'll set this city, this community on fire for you. I pray thousands upon thousands of souls to come to Christ. And I thank you for this man of God and First Lady. Fill him and use him, protect him, Jesus. And let him see in the future greater than the past. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, how many can say in this room, so Preacher Steele Island, I may not know a whole lot about this and that, but there's one thing I know for sure. If I die tonight, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand as a witness? God bless you. Put your hand down. How many say, Preacher, don't embarrass me. Don't come over at. Don't. Call my name. I don't even know your name. Don't put your hands on me. But would you pray for me? If I die tonight, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven, but I sure don't want to go to hell. Please don't embarrass me, preacher. But would you pray for me? If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die, would you raise your hand to pray for me? God bless you. Put your hand down. Anybody? Say, pray for me. I'm not sure. Let's stand together all over the house and look up this way. I'm going to turn it over to the man of God. And sis, you might want to come play something on the piano. But I'm going to tell you something. Tonight, God wants us to, I know I live in the same world you live in. And we're concerned about some things. But it's midnight, church. It's midnight. And I preached the other night. I was up in Princeton, West Virginia. And I told them when I was a little boy, you could stand at the bus stop. We had a little song. But he said, here come the BUS bus. And parents wasn't afraid to let the children stand at the bus stop. Now you can't let your babies go to the bathroom by themselves. Now you got to have security at the malls and ball games, security at the church. You can't go nowhere unless you got security. We're living in a different world. It's midnight. But I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Because reason we in church instead of the streets, because somebody got on their faces and believed God on our behalf. So we need to pray like we never had before. And believe God still answers prayer. We need to keep praising him anyway. And until God, expect God to show up. I expect him. When I come to that door on Sunday morning, me and those preachers, after we prayed in the prayer room, and I walk out on that platform, and they begin to sing, I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do next. A little lady just came this morning, brother. Some of our folks, we got a Spanish family. She moved up here from Orlando, Florida. And I gave the invitation here. She come down there out of Spanish lady. Gave her life to Christ. And she said, I just got here from Orlando. And she said, man, just walked here and they brought me here. And the first person I meet is Jesus. I said, ma'am, I want you to know we love you. And I'm telling you right now, God is just waiting for his people. It's midnight. And I don't know what you're going to pray. Preacher, you come on. And I'm gonna find me a place and I'm going to pray for you. And if you need to come pray for somebody or this ministry or what.